Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. Are we ready for this, boys?
We certainly are.
Before we put hands in, like, how would you describe the razor sharpness of a Cornerstone razor, Phil?
I'd say it's sharper than a Bulbasaur's razor leaf, Tim.
So topical, Phil. So topical. So now. So July 2016 with the Pokemon reference. I love that. Yeah. Just for £4, for as little as £4, you could jump on the bandwagon with us and everyone else that is using the best razor blade on the market, a Cornerstone razor blade, voted better than Gillette, better than Wilkinson's sword, and all the others, top of its class, and yet still a niche offering and something that you can get involved in before the rest of the world, because you're with us, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Just £4 by getting a £10 discount on your first order, which will include a free engraved shaft. Aluminium precision engineered shaft. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkout.
There you go. Right, let's get into this podcast then. Hands in and pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are just three fans, three mates that love the game, and thank you very much for listening. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And that there is Philip.
Hi, Tim.
On this podcast, you are going to be treated to, well, some sevens news ahead of the Olympics, some Super Rugby news as the season there comes to a crescendo. What's going on with Bath and their director of rugby? What's going on as we put a couple or more clubs under the microscope this week? Wasps and Worcester. And what's happening in the world of Stash? And what is happening in the world of Stuart Lancaster? We have another update for you today. All that coming up on the podcast. Remember to leave your reviews on iTunes. We've had some great ones, boys, on iTunes. This one from the London Irish blog. They've been long-time listeners.
Yes, they have.
Fantastic rugby crack. Almost perfect, however, loses points due to a clear and obvious lack of Southern Hemisphere domestic rugby chat. A reference to last week's podcast.
Yes,
it still gives us a 5-star review, so I think this one's just a joke. The fact I heard nothing in the way of team news on Otago and Bay of Plenty is literally... it's literally heartbreaking. What about the Curry Cup? Well, it does not receive the airtime it deserves.
Why is it called the Curry Cup?
I don't know.
Good question.
It is a good question. I'm sure
answers
one of our
on
listeners.
Postcard.
It does sound like the sort of thing you'd call a league for five-a-side. You know, like a five-a-side on a Friday night and you end up going for a curry afterwards.
So iTunes for your reviews. There was another one here. It says, I was going to give this review 2 stars just to wind up JB. But the podcast is too good. If you didn't hear JB's response to a 2-star review last week, it's well worth
listening to. Let's not encourage people to give 2-star reviews.
No.
Listen back if
you'll understand. And Tim Pedro, on a similar vein, this week has left a review saying, surprisingly, 5 stars, surprisingly little coverage of MotoGP. right, we are at Rugby Podcast on Twitter as well. And there was a little job application, a little job opportunity that popped up on Twitter, which Paul Harris tweeted us about Rugby Podcast and said, JB, this is perfect for you. The tweet came from BBC Scrum 5 Wales, who said, can you express the buzz of the Pro 12? Here's your chance to join our team. You should just send them our Pro 12 report jingle.
Actually, I've done that. I've sent off my CV and I've sent off the Pro 12 report.
Wait, are you being serious?
I'll show you my email.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so if you get on Twitter and can lobby for me to get the Pro 12 job, that would be great. Thanks.
Wow. Speaking of jobs, Stuart Lancaster in our series of Stuart Lancaster Watch.
What will Stuart do next?
What will Stuart do next?
Well, no. It's what won't Stuart do next? Because he's done nothing. Stuart Lancaster's here. Who? yeah, he's big from the UK. Oh, yeah, bring him into the reception. Let him talk to the assistant coaches.
Chris Hoy and the rest of the British cycling. Someone called Stuart's at reception.
What? We're busy. We're cycling. Yeah, he wants to talk to you about culture.
Well, he was on the shortlist of people being interviewed for Toulon's top job.
Mm. Yes.
Well, this is interesting. Do you know the background to the Toulon thing?
I don't. Well, no. Go on.
So, Toulon have got Bernard Lepore in charge.
Yes. Yep.
Bernard Lepore does not show up to work until Thursday. That's just a fact. He just doesn't show up. And when he does, he has a little flip chart and he says, you're going to lose all these games. He actually plans out the next six games in advance. He goes, lose, lose, win, win, win. He actually
Is it just on home and away? Because
that's how the
French league works.
Yeah. So yeah. Matt Gitter apparently runs all of the backs moves and the forwards look after themselves. Bernard Lepore shows up and that's what they do.
Amazing.
So this year, they've got the Stade Francais team, or should I say Diego Dominguez, shadowing him all year, ready to take over for next year.
Right,
so that's
okay.
All in place.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that Diego Dominguez, before he's even gone to Toulon, has now fallen out with the Toulon owner, Mourad Boujla. So after a year's shadowing...
He's an easy man to fall out with.
Apparently so.
Very easy.
Very peculiar character. So that's why Lancaster's going. Now, I can't think of a better marriage than Mourad Boujla and Stuart Lancaster.
Oh, wow,
but
yeah.
Knowing, from the stories you hear coming out of Toulon, this would be a match made in heaven. Well, ish.
Lancaster's a cool customer. So it's, you know, much like, you know, Game of Thrones, Boujalad's the fiery, you've got a Song of Ice and Fire. You'd have the cool man, Stuart Lancaster, and the fiery guy, Mourad Boujalad.
There's only one job Stuart Lancaster should have, only one, and that's head of the All Blacks. That would suit him down to the ground. Because if we look at what the All Blacks are now at the moment, now, I'm sure I'm going to incur someone's wrath. Steve Hansen has not won a single competitive game at top flight club rugby. He's not even been in charge of a top flight rugby team. Well, that's only marginally worse than Stuart Lancaster's record, which is he's only won two games of top flight rugby. On top of that, Steve Hansen has not won a game against a single major tier one nation as the Welsh coach. And then he went over to New Zealand and won the World Cup. Stuart Lancaster and Steve Hansen are almost the same person. I'd have Stuart Lancaster as a replacement for Steve Hansen.
I think anyone could be a replacement for Steve Hansen.
I could get the All Blacks to a semi-final.
Steve Hansen's record with Wales is absolutely appalling.
It's incredible.
Like, it's one of the worst international records of any coach ever. So he never beat a Tier 1 opponent, apart from Scotland, who he beat 50% of the time. So he lost three times to Ireland, lost three times to France, lost five times to England, lost to Australia, lost to New Zealand, lost to South Africa. So he never beat them.
I think Stuart Lancaster's lost to almost all of those teams.
I think he has.
So if you kind of just transplant that, put him into the All Blacks setup, boom. Natural successor.
What won't Stuart do? We'll find out what he's up to next week.
No, what he's not.
He's like he's like a modern day Mr. Ben. Just goes into the shop. What shall I do today? I think I'll
Justing.
Be. Love it.
All joking aside, I actually think he might not be a bad fit for Toulon.
He's a terrible fit, mate.
Just in terms of they've got the talent there. They've got the people who train hard, who know what they're doing. They don't need someone who's going to come and implement a really expansive, exotic game plan or strategy like the Saracens boys do. Mm-hmm. He just needs someone to show up, put out cones, and get the people where they need to be,
you know,
with the right attitude.
I'm completely the opposite opinion to you. Stuart
really?
Lancaster isn't a coach that coaches rugby. He goes there and he talks about all this other absolute nonsense that goes on the RFU about culture and being nice and, you know, building teams. It's all absolute nonsense.
Genuinely,
Toulon boys don't need that.
For sustainability, to complement what Boujalad does, which is spend loads of cash, buy in the best players, and then let the experienced old heads run the show. Clearly.
Steve Diamond would be perfect for Toulon.
Well, no, but he would want to get that leash. He wouldn't want to. He would want a bit of that leash. Whereas, you know, Matt Gitto's like, oh, that's all right, I've got this. I've got the backs. Anyway, but my point is actually someone to come in at Toulon and go, what's going on down here with these young players you kept coming through?
Who cares about the young players? They don't care about the
Let
young
me sort them out. Well, there's a yin and a yang. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not sure what that means.
He could be he could be a good guy to have around. I think he'd be a good guy to have around any setup.
Yeah, a school setup.
Yeah,
he'd be a good guy to have around a school setup. That's it.
All right. So right, Lancaster.
Lancaster's doing the rugby dungeon next week, so that'll be good fun.
No, he's not.
No,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, I've got before we get into the Super Rugby, we'll just take a look at what some of the Northern Hemisphere guys, England and UK based guys are doing with their summer, with a special summer rugby social that I've got.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we know our rugby players love Twitter and social media and Instagram and all the rest of it. So I've been looking around at what some rugby players have been doing, and you're going to have to guess what they've been up to when I give you some options. So firstly, and we go to
Ellis Genge.
How did you know Ellis Genge?
Well, it was a joke because he's been in trouble before when he went away, but we're not allowed to talk about it. It's trouble we're not allowed to talk
Genge
about.
Ellis Genge is who I've got.
Is that really?
That's who I've got as the question number one. I thought you were looking over my shoulder or something. Ellis Genge, question number one.
I'm not going to go with my original answer, that's for sure.
This is nothing to do with any previous
just don't address it.
Yeah, Ellis Genge. We got complimented on our dodging of Ellis Genge, by the way, in previous podcasts. Anyway,
there's not much dodging of Ellis Genge when he decides.
Okay. Did Ellis Genge tweet? He tweeted.
Oh,
that's Ellis Genge.
No, boys. No, no.
Get out.
Ellis Genge tweeted one of the following. Which one? Did he tweet? Currently in Australia, pretending not to be an English rugby player. Currently in Thailand, with it coming out of both ends.
Ooh.
Or currently in Ibiza, with James Haskell on the decks.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, I don't think James Haskell is in Ibiza. He is in Ibiza, but he's not on the decks because he wanted someone to get him on the decks.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of that. Both ends. Now, that's an interesting one because apparently he doesn't drink too well. So that does stack up. And the last one, why would he pretend not to be an English rugby player?
Because we just hammered them in Australia.
That's exactly why he would be in English.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for Thailand.
I also think that he's just been to Australia. He's come back. He's probably not going to go back out there. So I'm going to say Thailand.
Correct, both of you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Look at that.
Coming out of
Logical
both
ends.
Ellis Genge has it coming out of both ends. Lovely image
and
for you.
And who sent that tweet? Was it the Leicester Press team or?
That was Ellis himself. Next one.
What a pro.
This one comes from Ollie Devoto.
Ooh.
Did Ollie Devoto tweet on his little summer break? I love a good English tweed blazer, hashtag suave. I love a good English loose leaf breakfast tea, hashtag morning cuppa. Or I love a good English picnic, hashtag scotch egg.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to go with the first one. I've got a reason for this as well. Exeter Chiefs, their dressy up bit, whatever you call that, their ones, is a tweed jacket. And he's just moved there, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone to get fitted out for an Exeter tweed jacket, and that's what he likes.
Interesting. I think that's a good strategy. I'm going to say picnic. I'm going to go for, he's indulging in a scotch egg on a nice sunny day.
Yeah, why would you ever tweet about tea?
Because your name's Ollie Devoto and that's what you do, because it was a tweet about tea. He tweeted how much he loves a good English loose leaf breakfast tea.
Is that a sponsor of some sort?
No idea. Here's a different one then.
Okay.
There were 8 hashtags used by Sergio Parise. He did a 2-word tweet and just said Central Park.
Yeah, I've been following him. He's been travelling around the US.
God.
Okay.
And he's with his missus.
Oh, okay.
He used 8 hashtags. I just want to see if either of you can guess a hashtag.
So he was in Central Park.
In Central Park. So
hashtag NYC.
I'll give you hashtag New York, yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's a waste of words. A waste of characters, isn't it?
Hashtag Pokemon Go.
No.
Oh.
No.
Hashtag. Okay, USA.
No.
Trump for president.
So,
hashtag Big Apple.
No, it was. So his tweet just says, Central Park, squirrel emoji, leaf emoji, hashtag New York, hashtag Central Park, hashtag walk, hashtag SF, hashtag honeymoon,
walk.
Hashtag good time, hashtag so happy, hashtag so love.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One of these hashtags will pick up, surely.
Oh my God.
I know.
Surely it was his missus tweeting that, not Sergio.
Yeah, he's been heavy on the hashtags as Serge.
Good God, that's a terrible
And
one.
Finally then, Jordan Crane. Another tough week of pre-season done and dusted. Feet up and watching what before the drive back to Leicester.
What day was this?
It doesn't matter. He says, feet up and watching. Feet up and watching. I'll give you options. ITV Chase, Loose Women, or Billions.
I don't know anything about any of those. But because you said you wouldn't tell me the day, actually, is Billions the new show about
Damien,
hedge fund managers?
Yeah.
Billions.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's finished. So Billions you'd watch at any time, box set, or Sky Atlantic Record. I'm going to say he finished at midday and is got his feet up watching Loose Women before heading across.
Close. ITV The Chase.
The Chase.
What is The Chase? Oh, what is?
I don't know.
It's a quiz thing, isn't it?
Most interesting part about that tweet, then. Let's start again on that. Most interesting part about that tweet is he's living in Leicester and training in Bristol.
Yep.
That's a bit of a drive.
Well, I suppose when you've got kids and a wife and stuff, they keep
you settled.
Same. I'm doing that, aren't I? I'm living down in London Monday to Thursday.
That is true. But you're not driving back up.
You won't be getting
a train.
Yeah, right. Presumably you'll be. I don't know. His working hours are probably similar to yours. Not the time of day, but the number of hours.
But I think he's staying down in Bristol in the week and going back on the weekends.
Ben Cohen was living in like Northamptonshire or somewhere and travelling to Sale.
I think some people rack up some big old miles. Well,
Andy Goode was flying the day of the game.
Yeah, eating a Gatwick
Olympic breakfast or whatever
Olympic
it was.
Breakfast or whatever, and then jumping on a plane to Newcastle on a game day.
What a guy.
Unreal. Okay, right. So Super Rugby's been going on. Phil,
it has.
You've got a Canes shirt on right now.
I have. My beloved Canes. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a fair weather fan, but I do root for the Canes.
Who do you root for more, Canes or Ulster?
Definitely Ulster. Mm-hmm. Sufton.
Can you explain the playoff system? Because we've had the regular season finished, done and dusted.
Yeah. Regular season done. So it's quite complicated because there's effectively seven different tables. So there's four conferences.
Okay.
18 teams, four conferences.
Australian Conference, New Zealand Conference, which is two independent tables, which then form up to make the Australasian Conference. You then have South African or Africa Conference 1 and Africa Conference 2, which
incorporates South America.
And Asia, Japan. So those two form the South African overall conference, and then all of them are put together. So we've got the winners of each conference, who are the Lions in Africa 2, the Stormers in Africa 1, the Canes, my beloved Canes, in the New Zealand conference, and the Brumbies in the Australian conference.
Okay.
So they're the top four teams. They all get a home semi-final.
Quarter-final.
Home quarter-final. Yeah. And Canes top the overall table with Lions in second place, so they would get a home semi-final if they're successful in their quarterfinals, and they play the next four best scoring teams. So the Brumbies, who finished top of the Australian Conference on 43 points, actually scored fewer points than the Highlanders, the Chiefs, and the Crusaders, who finished second, third, and fourth in the New Zealand Conference, but who all qualify for the overall conference. So
it sort of highlights how farcical this season's Super 18 has been, or Super Rugby has been.
You know, I quite like the fact that it's complex with the tables. I don't mind that so much.
No, I don't mind that, but it's the fact that the top Australian team who have a home quarter final are so much poorer than a number of other teams.
Yeah. That is an anomaly. There's a good argument to say, well, the best four teams in the whole thing are the Canes, the Highlanders, the Chiefs, and the Crusaders, because they are in the toughest group. I mean, the Lions
well,
and
the Blues arguably are better. Well, they are better than the Brumbies
because they beat them 2 weeks ago.
It's like Zebre being in the European Cup.
And
people go, whoever's in that pool, it's like, oh, great, well, we're through.
Yeah, it is almost, even if you don't win the group, you're going to be one of the best runners-up. So, yeah, there's an argument to say that, and it is a bit of an anomaly because having home advantage is enormous in the Super Rugby. in the Super Rugby knockouts because you don't know where you're going until the
week before.
Time
zones.
Yeah, you've got it. So you've
acclimatization, altitude.
Yeah, they play. They played yesterday, Friday and Saturday. They then wait till all the games are played to figure out where they're going to end up playing, and then they've got to travel to wherever they're playing. So, for example, the Crusaders are now travelling to Johannesburg to play the Lions, and they'll only be travelling midweek because they're going to have to sort out flights and all the usual stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it is a big, big advantage playing at home. That said, because the New Zealand teams are arguably the four best teams, you could potentially see, even though three of them are away, you could almost see all New Zealand.
That'd be awful for the competition semi-final. If that happened.
It's possible.
It's possible, but...
I mean, it's a meritocracy, but it would be...
I think they should do it in a kind of NFL style, which is Australasia and... Yeah, Australasia one side, African conferences on the other side. So you always get... So say if the AFC is dominant of the NFC, the Super Bowl is always AFC versus NFC.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Rather than make it so the New Zealanders can have all home semi-finals and all home
You could argue with that, then, that the African route to the final is an easier
yeah, but
route.
What happens with these competitions is it always is cyclical. Now, the problem with this is it isn't cyclical because they're not having the same pool of players, are they? They're all domestically grown and going to those teams. So it is different.
Yeah,
I'm quite happy with the structure.
No, I'm okay with it. Well,
what they're talking about for next season is only having the top two conference winners getting automatic home quarterfinals.
So the Australasian conference winner and the South African conference winner, rather than the four conference winners.
And then the two best runners-up, which would mean two more New Zealand teams would have had home quarterfinals.
It would.
Now, we've spoken about your beloved Canes. Where are my beloved Jaguares?
in the overall table...
After their historic win over the Lions...
Who rested all of their players.
Oh, I kid you not, right? I'm sure that the Jaguars team talk is something like this. Lads, the Lions have got three guys who've never played in Super Bowl before, so don't try very hard. I'm sure it's like that. Because they play down to whoever they're playing
to. Lower yourself to the standard of your opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
So you either narrowly win or narrowly lose.
Or get smashed. Or
get absolutely pumped, yeah.
I mean, they're such a good team, potentially.
It's very much potential.
Here's a... shout for you. I reckon that Labanini is the best second row in the world in the next 2 years.
Wow.
I think he's incredible.
He's a barnstorming player.
He's a good player, yeah. Well, that is a hell of a statement with some of the young second rows and some of the incumbent international second rows.
I think Itoji is on his way. I think a lot of the
Ritalik, Marrow,
Etzebeth.
Diaga. Right up there.
Wow.
I will say this as well. Like, the Lions had some five uncapped, not just uncapped in national terms, uncapped full stop in Super Rugby. And all the replacements for the Jags all had 15 odd caps. The difference between the two teams in terms of experience is huge. Mm. Absolutely huge.
A couple of guys that were in the South African under-20s team, Kerwin Bosch, the fullback, he's been on the bench for the Stormers, and Zane Davids. I don't know who he plays for back in South Africa.
I don't remember seeing
But
those
he's
yesterday.
An open side that's going to be immense.
Right. I never get bored of hearing right winger Carl Marks.
Yeah.
Although it's Cock Marks.
Cock Marks.
It's a beautiful language.
Well, the Jaguares, in African Conference 2, they are in third place.
What?
Out of four, because Kings are in there.
How do they get that high?
Yeah, they're third out of four. In South African group, they're in fifth place, above the Sunwolves, the Kings, and above the Cheetahs, with that win. And overall, they are 13th out of 18.
It is fair to say, isn't it? Anything below the Jaguares is dross. It is dross. Just read those teams again.
Well, overall, in the overall table below, you've got, from the bottom up, Sunwolves, Kings...
Crack Foxes.
Crack Foxes, Fire Puppies. The Force and the Reds and the Cheetahs are all below the Jaguares.
If you got all five teams and tried to make a 15 out of what they've got, you might have a semi-competitive team.
That's another option for Big Stuart.
It makes the Pro 12 competitive. It makes the Pro 12 look like a good league.
No, because the top end of Super Rugby...
is immense.
...is unbelievable.
Yeah, but if you take out the New Zealand teams, I don't think actually they're that much more competitive to the top teams in the Pro 12. I really don't.
Maybe not. Mind you, the top teams in the Pro 12 there's some very good teams.
Yeah,
exactly
what I'm saying. Yeah. The bottom end of it is terrible.
Yeah.
Get this for a tweet from Corey Jane while we're talking New Zealand sides. Corey Jane tweeted, I got to training this morning and TJ Perenara asked me if I could drive him and Julian Cervera around so they could catch Pokemon. True facts.
Wow.
Julian Cervera and TJ Perenara, world-class players and big into Pokemon. although Cervera's had a bit of a form dip recently by his high standards.
Which one?
Julian,
not Ardy. Ardy's in great form. He got dropped in it was dropped, not rested against Wales for the second test.
So I'm thinking maybe a solution to that could be clearly to his form slump, attach a smartphone to his to the ball and then put a Charizard at the opposing try line.
Is that how you do it? I'm trying to think how you do it. Maybe you need to put a Charizard on the ball, whatever a Charizard is.
It's like apparently it's a good Pokemon. Apparently,
but it's an evolved. It's called a twice evolved Charmander,
and it's the one that people went nuts for in Central Park in America.
That was Vipirine.
Oh, was it a Vipirine? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I only know. Right, so I saw a tweet like you did about people running across Central Park, and it was because some Vipirine was there. I had to Google the word Vipirine. I thought it was like a mains water burst. That's what I thought.
I've not played this, but I won't. I don't have time, unfortunately.
You will.
I used to play Pokemon when I was a kid, when I was 30, when it first came out back in 98, something like that.
You're the only man in the world who bought the Nintendo. What was the new one?
The Wii U. I've been playing that recently, actually. Although I've been playing Wii games on it.
Oh, so we were having a little natter before. We had if rugby players were Pokemon. As the whole world's gone Pokemon Go mad. Either of you two played it?
No.
I'm delighted to say it's a hat trick. I've walked around with my lad Louis, who's well into it, but I refuse to be sucked in. I've got far more important things. I've got stuff I want to achieve life.
That's what I keep telling myself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a Haskachu who knocks out opponents with a sonic boom of deadly house music.
Oof, oof, oof. Okay, good.
A Danny Carizard. His weakness is his insanely small arms. However, he's an electric type Pokemon who has incredible electric gas. And he has the special power of being able to time jump back to 2012 when his high and tight haircut was actually remotely trendy.
Oh, nice. a hair portal, if you will.
Yes, quite right.
I've got a Jamie Nunes. His shoulders turn into granite. I mean, we see that all the time. And his hands simultaneously turn into concrete.
So he's a bit like
I think that's an earth power, is it?
A bit like an Onyx. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Onyx might be a rock type Pokemon.
And a Protwelvisaur. And our Protwelvisaur resides in all of the stadiums in the Pro 12. And what it does is it gets a whole stadium of people and vanishes them. I think that's a psychic power. So, Protwelvisaur and Jamie Nunes.
Very good.
Very good.
You got any film?
I'm too hungover to think up of Pokemon.
I've got an Ellis Gengisaur who goes
away.
No! Who goes away.
And no! We'll be taken off the air. Don't mention Ellis Genge.
All right. So, as we build up to the Olympic Sevens...
Can we not give a shout-out to our listeners to send in Pokemon?
Oh, yes. Rugby Pokemon. Rugby Pokemon. Tweet at Rugby Podcast. We'll have some rugby-based Pokemon ideas. And we'll... I don't know. If you suggest them and they're good enough, I might even have a word with a mate of mine who does... illustrations, and we'll see if we can get them made up into some sort of picture. Maybe release a limited edition Egg Chasers Pokemon cards.
What do you think about calling our Twitter followers the LTBP community?
LTBP. Let the boys play community. Yeah, I'm game on. So there you go. This is you, the LTBP community. Rugby Pokemon at Rugby Podcast. Go.
The closest one I've got is... Do you know what a Snorlax looks like?
No, I don't.
It looks like that. It's enormous, incredibly lazy. Thomas Francis. Yeah.
Who signed the new deal?
He has signed a new deal.
Yeah.
Very good deal.
Also, in terms of other sort of ins and outs, or just other bits of news, just rattle through a few of these. Quade Cooper confirms he's leaving Toulon.
That was on the cards?
On the cards.
Is he going back to the Reds?
That's what I'm hearing, yeah. I think so.
Has no one got enough?
I don't know.
I bet no one's got enough salary cap space to pick him up at this time in the Prem.
Hoops is not going to be the Bath director of rugby, as I hoped, but he is going to have a wide-ranging role somewhere in the senior management of the club. And he, one of the jobs he's been doing is going out to New Zealand and sitting down and having face-to-face talks with Todd Blackadder and his number two, Tabai Metzen from Canterbury Crusaders.
No.
With Todd Blackadder is the head coach at the Crusaders. He would be director of rugby at Bath, and Metzen would be head coach.
Now, I understand that they're out there, aren't they, with Tarquin and the other fella.
Yeah.
Is it Bruce Craig or Craig Bruce? I can't remember which way around.
Bruce Craig.
Bruce Craig. So that sounds like it might actually happen then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's looking... Well, they need to solve that one. It's...
Yeah.
It's already getting a bit...
Ever closer.
I worry about Bath for the season. I don't worry about them enough to get relegated, but I tell you what, I think they'll be scrapping in the bottom three.
Wow.
Oh, I don't think they'll be that bad.
Put it this way, everyone's super... As we always say, everyone is super competitive, right?
Yeah.
So if you think of a Bath team without any real inside centres outside of Bowden...
Yeah.
No real structure until these new coaches come in. Then they've got to put the structure in place.
Yeah.
And it's so competitive.
And they had a front row that a couple of seasons ago was looking brilliant and is now looking increasingly shaky.
Despite having the England scrum coach as your scrum coach.
But of course he's gone.
He's gone now. Yeah, exactly.
So he's gone. The only person I've got left really is our line-up coach in Toby Booth, who I think is a good coach. Yeah. But obviously Bath don't think he's a good coach because they're about to replace him.
Mm. Yeah.
Elsewhere, Eddie Jones is thought to be considering calling up Sam Underhill to the England squad with the injury to James Haskell and his toe surgery. He's got Nathan Hughes going to be available for the Autumn Internationals as well. And it's thought that both are going to be drafted into the squad. Underhill, I think part of the... Eddie Jones, as soon as he was made England coach, was asked about Sam Underhill and says, oh yeah, absolutely, he's on my radar. I see him as a six or an eight. But
he's a seven.
Potentially Rob Shaw being moved over to open side, or potentially Sam Underhill being used as an open side is an option. And also I think it's important to Eddie Jones and England that he gets picked soon because he qualifies at the end of next season for Wales.
For Wales.
On residency.
If he stays there.
The flip side is that England club clubs might have an issue with a player playing outside of England being allowed.
Yeah, I think they've addressed this already, which is it genuinely is an exceptional circumstance.
Because he's studying.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't a pro. He went over to study. Having said that, he was at Gloucester prior to Ospreys.
Yeah, as an academy player.
As an academy player, yeah. So I think that has kind of been cleared. It's not the same as Stefan Armitage. What is the same as Stefan Armitage, however, is he's a seven. He's not an eight, he's not a six. And I've watched this guy, and he definitely looks like a seven.
He feels
he's
like a six
big,
to me.
He's quite a big boy, isn't he?
His ball carrying
he's stacked,
is...
definitely, but he's more...
I think his ball carrying is his best attribute.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a bad ball carrier to be a
seven. No, I agree.
Like,
I agree.
That's something we'll... That's...
Like O'Brien.
Yeah.
It's just how physical the guy is.
Yeah,
I hope that you completely overlook him and he plays for Wales because I think he's brilliant.
The interesting thing that Eddie Jones, he specifically name-checked Nathan Hughes and he said he would like to see him as a six rather than an eight. Yeah.
That's madness.
I've said this for a little while. So a couple of seasons ago, Nathan Hughes and Billy were both in the top count for turnovers and both in the top tackle count in the Premiership. So it's not a bad option, you know, and having those two ball carriers, it's like having, like New Zealand have Jerome Kano at six.
Do you not think Jerome Kano is a bit more of a thoroughbred six than either of those two boys?
Definitely, but I think what's happened to Billy Vunipola in the last year is he's gone from a 50-60 minute player to an 80 minute player.
Yeah.
And so I was always thinking, oh, well, Billy probably hasn't got an 80 minute game in him at what he does. So Nathan Hughes and him, between them, you've got 80 minutes of an amazing number eight.
Not to horribly disagree with you, Tim, but I actually think the reason that Billy looked like a 60-minute player is because he did the line... They relied on him in the old England team under Lancaster far more than they do in the team under Jones. That's not to say he doesn't do anything under Jones. I just think more people carry the load there. It's even distribution.
That is definitely true. But he was, even when he was at Saracens, until a couple of seasons ago, and he said himself specifically, he is a lot fitter. He's worked on that. He's lost a bit of timber, lost a few kg, and he is definitely fitter than he was. But yeah, I completely agree with the point that he was... A lot of the time, it was just one option. It was just Billy crashing it up every single time.
Yeah.
And he just looked exhausted.
And the problem I'd have with Hughes at six is what if Hughes at six is facing someone like a Billy Vunipola? I'm sure he can handle someone of lesser calibre at the very top end. Could he handle a, what's his name, big South African fella?
Vermaelen.
Vermaelen. I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, you could run at him, sure, but can he tackle him?
It's a difficult.
I think what I would do is probably, if I was, for the first game in the autumn series, if everyone stays kind of fit and Haskell aside and on similar form, then I think I would probably move Robshaw across, put Marrow onto the blind side.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And bring the other two guys in on the bench, you know, involved in the squad.
Frightening
one on the bench.
Options.
I know.
Yeah. No, which way you cut it, frightening options.
Yeah, it is good.
But it's a Welshman that is favourite to captain the Lions, the early favourite, Alan Wynne-Jones.
Really?
Good yep. shout.
Not Yeah, not a bad shout at all.
Good shout. I think he will start. I think he'll start, if he started today, sorry, if the Lions was today, I think he'd start. But in 12 months' time, who's to say how good this English pairing are going to be of Cruz and Itoji, unless you move Itoji to six.
It will be an interesting dynamic if the finals of next season go as they did this season, with no Welsh team. Obviously, Ospreay's not in the final four, so he would be released and available for the Lions squad immediately, whereas the Saracens boys wouldn't join up with the squad until a week later.
And probably come back with a second European Cup as well.
Yeah, maybe some additional experience of big games.
It's crazy. In fact, do you know what's even more crazy? This year's African Cup will be represented by one Welsh team.
Scarlets.
I don't even think... They weren't even in the top four. That's how undeserving the Welsh teams are of Heineken Cup rugby this year.
Well, they've got themselves in with Toulon and Saracens, so...
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, have a good one. Welcome back, Jonathan Davies. Right, so we've got some other things to talk about. We've got... a little bit of chatter about the sevens as we build up to that. And we've got a sevens team of hookers to pick. Also got to put under the microscope Worcester and Wasps as we, you know, make our way through the teams, firstly in the Premiership, and then we can move on elsewhere as we look at the ins, the outs, what are the expectations are for the season. So what would you want to do first?
Should we do the sevens?
Go on then.
Touch on the sevens team of hookers.
Yes. So we're going through kind of position by position, building up to the Rio Sevens, which is what it's like first week in August.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the early events as well. It's in the first week of the Olympics.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's creeping up. And so this time, a team of hookers, a Sevens team of hookers. And we had quite a few good suggestions, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll come up as we go through them. So who have you got? Who would make your Sevens team of hookers?
I'm going to start with the captain, who will be Phil Greening.
Phil Green's a good shot.
Genuine Sevens pedigree.
Mm. Yeah.
England.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Was he a World Cup winner?
Was he in that squad?
No, he wasn't.
He's won a few Hong Kong sevens and
so
things like
the
that.
The hookers then were the guy from Bristol. What's his name? The guy who... what's his name? He played for Bath and Bristol. Mark Regan.
Mark Regan?
Mark Regan was a backup to...
Oh, was the England hooker? No, I meant World Cup sevens.
Yeah, the sevens World Cup in like 93-94 when Delalio played.
I don't know if he was in that team, but anyway.
No, he definitely wasn't.
But he's definitely won a few Hong Kong sevens and a few World Sevens titles in his time or whatever with England. He was in the old Ben Gollings and Simon Amor England sevens team.
Yeah, and he still commentates on for Sky every now and again.
Yeah.
How about something a little bit less obvious? Someone like Craig Burden.
Okay.
The big boy for Toulon, who was a great runner.
Who's been released? Is he at Montpellier now?
I think so.
He's a good player. He's not as good a runner. he's a bit more physical, but not as good a runner as Scout Brits.
Well, I was going to say, first name on my team sheet would be Scout Brits.
You could possibly partner Jamie George with him. Oh. He doesn't have the look of a sevens player necessarily.
He has the hands and the skills, though.
Yeah, he's a very, very skillful player. Harry Thacker? Feet.
Harry Thacker, definitely. Gas. Little ball of
tiny little
muscle.
Harry Thacker. Cute little Harry Thacker.
Harry Thacker, definitely.
Definitely. Tommy Taylor from Sale as well, I think.
Tommy Taylor's a good shout. And you could have Tom Youngs of Leicester, who was formerly a centre, obviously.
Yeah. And, of course, because he doesn't have to throw in, Dave Ward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, just because that's a great shout.
The scrum half normally throws in, so as long as he's not playing scrum half, he doesn't have to throw in.
He could play hooker.
Yeah, he could actually play hooker.
Hey! Dane Coles,
definitely.
He's got everything. Gas, step, skills. Yeah.
Well, in that mode, how about Plotter now?
Yeah, he's not bad.
Plotter
not bad.
And
he's kind of a sort of bosh ball runner.
Yeah, he is actually. Karevi's a bit of a. Hang on, have I got the right one?
Karevi's the centre.
No, hang on. Who? Why is it? Creevy.
Augustine Creevy.
I'm getting confused now. He is the hooker. He's not a prop.
No, he's the hooker. Hooker, isn't he? Yeah. He's the captain offloading hooker. Yeah.
He is awesome and hard as you like. I
think there's better runners.
Yeah, there's better runners on
sevens. He's an offloader.
He is an offloader.
Yeah. And that helps.
Like Bismarck, but maybe Bismarck a few years ago.
Yeah.
Bismarck's far too big now.
He's too big now.
Bit big.
The man's an animal.
You know, one of your favourite hookers, who you think doesn't get enough game time, Sean Cronin.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some good skills and surprising gas.
Yeah, he went like half the length of the pitch in, I can't remember which game it was.
Probably against Zebra or someone like that.
Zebra, yeah. What about we get the bottom half of the Pro 12 and merge it with the bottom half of Super Rugby and have one awesome league?
One awesome league, one terrible league.
Now,
one awesome league which requires a lot of travel.
Now, Eddie Stevens got in touch with us on Twitter and has said, boys, I will not accept no for an answer. Here is the captain of your sevens team. And he sent us a YouTube video to... do you remember when it was like a charity match?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what this is.
And Steve Thompson scored an 80-metre try.
Yes.
Against an Australian
Sports
side.
Talk.
Yes.
Wow.
80 metres he ran.
And he was probably weighing in about 21 and a half stone.
And he celebrated with two beers on the touchline. There's someone in the crowd passed him when he got brought off as a sub. And bearing in mind, it was rolling subs and he could have gone back on. Someone handed him two beers. He had one in each hand with about 50 minutes into the game.
I did that in a youth team game after scoring a try.
Did you? Yeah. A youth team?
Yeah.
You know when, like YouTube videos has like suggested and it rolls on to the next video? The next one after that.
I'd love to see what your suggested videos are.
The next one after that is another hooker. They haven't had much of the ball and it kicked it away again.
Toby Flood. God's sake! Good old Brian.
I love that video.
Brian, for God's sake! For God's sake!
They're probably one of the most amateurish commentary teams ever to. ever to do commentary on an international rugby game.
Right, so hold on. So sevens, I'd say we've got five definites. Shout Bricks, Harry Thacker, Dane Coles.
Dave Ward.
Tommy Taylor. He's like a back row player as a hooker. And then...
So Keith Woods.
Keith Woods, yes.
Needs to be in there.
Oh, God, he does, yeah.
I've also got Ashley Johnson, who was mentioned by a couple of people on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe he's a bit chunky, but he's an explosive runner.
I think,
And then possibly Guillaume. Girardeau, the Toulonan French captain, who is just brilliant all round.
Oh, we got a squad of 10 there.
Yeah.
We got a squad of 10 out of that.
They can play wherever they want.
Thank you for your help. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Come on then, LTBP community. What position are we going with next week?
So we're going to do back row. Are we going to do flankers and number eight separate, or should we just roll it all up into one?
I don't know. I'd be tempted to do sevens and then eights and sixes.
I think maybe because there's a few contentions.
These are all going to be genuine sevens players, aren't they?
They're going to be really, especially the sevens.
Yeah. Like Rankinkowski as well, who's played sevens, yeah. actually played sevens.
I heard he was coming over to the Premiership. It never happened.
Yeah, well, he was lined up for Ulster at one stage, yeah, but it was the other one, Coetzee.
He's one of my favourite players.
Marcel.
Absolutely brilliant player.
Yeah, Kinkowski, good player. Some of his highlights, early doors highlights. Yeah.
He's only like 31 though.
Yeah, not. He's still got a few good years left in him. So yeah, let's just do back row.
All right,
general.
back row overall. So this is going to be a proper Rolls Royce, amazing team. So
it probably will be
hard to pick. So your back row sevens players. I'm just thinking of weeks we've got left till the Olympics. It doesn't really matter.
Give me weeks until we've got till the main season.
Yeah, you're right. So at Rugby Podcast, your back row sevens team. There's going to be some amazing players in that. So I'm just thinking of. I like Tipperick for me would be like the archetypal sevens back row player, like real link player, hands, gas, or rugby intelligence.
Someone like Hooper as well.
Oh yeah,
definitely Hooper.
Hoops.
Stuart Hooper.
Yeah.
Obviously. Do you want to hear something awful?
Yes.
So Andy Ellis is retiring with Canterbury Crusaders.
You scrum off.
They played their final home game for 2016. And then after that, they put up on their Facebook page, and presumably they played it in like a team social in the bar afterwards, a video from the rest of the squad to Andy Ellis of them singing Westlife's Flying Without Wings.
Oh my God.
But changing the words. It is one of the worst videos I've ever seen. So it starts with Andy Ellis going, my karaoke song of choice would be.
Karaoke song, spent a little bit of time in Japan, is Flying Without Wings by Westlife. Everybody's looking for that something.
And then the other players all suddenly jump in and start. Anyway, that was a video he did for the Canterbury Crusaders thing. Now, what the rest of them have done is continued that. Check out... I don't know who that fella is. I don't recognise
him. Let's have a look
at him. I know that's Kieran Reid, but who's that fella to his to Kieran Reid's right?
It's the second row, isn't it? I can't remember his name.
Anyway, have a listen to their singing. It is it's up there with the worst I've ever heard.
For this team, it's been in the Ellis. The nicest guy you'll ever meet.
It's New Zealand captain Kieran Reid. He's good at cricket and at gardening.
He's even trying at radio.
Thank you, Nadolo.
Can't deny he's talented. Or is he just competitive?
Look at the video.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, look at these boys. It's like they're being held at gunpoint doing it. It's if you want to put your ears through it, go and find it on the Canterbury Crusaders Facebook page.
They're weird, aren't they, New Zealanders? They've got this kind of... It's a strange New Zealand sport chic going on. I can't quite describe it.
Yeah, what you mean? Like flat peak caps, vests, and...
You've got to put this in context that they live on an island which looks very similar to Anglesey. I mean, how weird would it look if you saw a bunch of guys with flat peak caps wandering around the Isle of Man? Something like that. It's odd.
Mm. Well, speaking of gimmicks, Super Rugby like a few gimmicks, don't they?
And yes, Southern Kings. So to name a few.
And the Brumbies gimmick. So they've got a home quarter final this week. And they've had poor attendances recently, so their gimmick this week is to give out pies to the first 2,000 people who show up at the stadium. Meat pies.
Are they not worried they're going to be overrun by vagrants? Homeless people queuing up from like 2 in the morning to order a pie.
Oh, God.
The law of unintended consequences.
It is bad when you're prestigious.
Why are all the homeless shelters empty?
Well, that's what sales Sharks need to do, because they've got Fran Cotton on board as a chairman, and he said the biggest thing they need to address is the attendance and getting the players, all the people that left, that have left the club due to terrible experiences.
Left. They just can't get there.
Yeah, that's...
Until they open the new road, they could appoint Graham Henry as head coach. and chairman and CEO. No one's going to go because you physically can't get there.
We live, what, 5 miles from there?
Yeah,
it's so difficult to...
Exactly. If I go watch Sale, I pack a sleeping bag,
yeah,
some lost safety flares, all sorts.
Well, it'd be all right if there was a B&B or just about anything nearby.
Anything
but
else.
There's
yeah.
an airfield and that's it.
Anything else.
You could fly in, I guess.
Yeah, you could chop her in.
That's a very good idea,
on
actually.
On a micro light. I think they only take Cessna's down in Boughton. But they've had to build their own pub.
Yeah.
This is how serious it is. They've got this like flat pack stadium which I've got from IKEA or somewhere. They've built it in a place that nowhere can go. It's got no atmosphere and there is literally no road links to get there. No, there's one road link.
There is one.
One road in, one lane in, one lane out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah. But waiting in the car, if you leave at kickoff, full time, if you leave the stadium at full time, you can just be in an hour just sitting in your car going nowhere.
Beaumont has actually got it's got one of the easiest jobs there is, really. Say you want to re-engage in fans, wait for the new road to open and claim success.
Cotton, you mean?
Sorry, what did I say?
Yeah, Beaumont. Cotton, that's sorry. Right. Yeah, that's all right.
And just wait.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Anyway. Elsewhere, or some other news, Paul O'Connell is going back to Munster part-time as an academy advisor for a year. That feels a little bit kind of something and nothing.
Yeah.
I quite like that Ronan O'Gara, one of his fellow Munstermen, took a job abroad and is going and doing something, getting his teeth stuck in elsewhere. I think Ronan O'Gara is one to watch on the coaching front.
You're right there, because I'm mocking him now, saying, defence coach. He runs one of the best defences in all of Europe. And it isn't the same as like the quick press of Saracens. It's completely different.
Yeah, I like that move that you made. Top 14 are talking about introducing a relegation playoff instead of a straight relegation. So
There's two that go down, isn't there? One goes down, one playoff.
Yeah.
And Super Rugby, there was one, it was just wrapping up what we were talking about, the Stormers v The Force, was it? Oh, The Force, by the way, there's a lot of people in Australia suggesting The Force be shut down.
I'm not sure about this.
No, I don't think it will be. It's losing loads of money. They've never got anywhere close to being in the playoffs. But they are bringing through players like the Haylett Petty brothers and stuff like that. So
what? There's two. Haylett Petty's all there. Didn't know that.
But in the Stormers Force game, Daniel Duplessis was sent to the bin whilst still on the floor, knocked out himself. That was last week, wasn't it? Yeah, was it last week? I'm only just catching up on stuff. But player jumped in the air, Force player jumped in the air. Daniel Duplessis came in, hit him in the air, but hit him by his head to the player's hip.
Hang on. Wait. So this whole thing is predicated on duty of care.
Yeah.
Where was the duty of care to Daniel Duplessis when he's receiving a knee to the head?
The Force player jumped in the air and hipped him to the head.
This is why I hate duty. I don't mind the rule saying don't touch a player in the air. Get that. Fine. I hate the idea of duty of care because then it opens all sorts... That is a duty of care thing. If your knee hits someone else's head, regardless of the intention... Still. If it hits someone's head... For instance, whose hip hit someone else's head?
CJ Stander. On
exactly.
Patrick Lombie.
Duty of care.
This was the other way around. This is the guy that was still on the floor.
Yeah.
Was the tackler.
Yeah, the guy went up in the air, caught the ball.
The tackler...
Collides with him.
Collides his head with his hip. That causes the player with the ball in the air to flip, but it also causes the player who tackled him to be knocked out.
I hate the duty of care.
But duty of care doesn't appear anywhere in the rules.
No, but there's this made-up thing which they got from, I don't know, but people our society
just,
somewhere.
People just refer to it. Like, commentators just incorrectly refer to it.
Yeah, well... I don't like it, and that's the end of that.
Okay, good.
Anyway, it was quite interesting to see a referee go up to a player who's sparks out on the floor, give him a yellow card.
No compassion, no mercy, no empathy there, Tim.
No empathy.
Where's the empathy?
Wait till he's on the stretcher being carried off. And then, you know, make sure you duck back out at half-time and at full-time just to remind him in case he has memory loss and can't remember that he got a yellow card. Right, oh God, we've got to put under the microscope our two teams then.
We do.
Wasps and Worcester.
Let's do it.
Which should we go for first, Wasps or Worcester?
Worcester.
Worcester, yeah, go on, Worcester.
Worcester's relatively simple, I think.
Well, yeah, the loss of Dean Ryan.
Dean Ryan is probably the biggest talking point.
Okay.
In terms of names, obviously they've shored up the Francois Hugard deal. That's a good move for them because when he came in last season, they immediately had the half-pack bounce, half-pack honeymoon period, I think I named it. Yep.
They've also got ex-England centre
He's not got any caps. He's not got any caps. So
ex-England squad member.
Yeah, ex-England squad member Benteo.
Benteo.
Yeah.
I think that's a good signing.
It's unknown.
He's a good.
They had Andy Simons there in that sort of position before. They didn't really have any real pedigree in that position, did they?
Who's the other? They've got another inside centre who's very good.
Ryan Mills. Ryan Mills.
He's kind of a squad player.
I think he could be a ten option potentially.
I think he's a good option. Yeah. Mills. What they do need is another fly half.
Yeah.
Are they sticking with Heathcote this year?
They've got Heathcote, yeah. They have brought in another centre, Jackson Willison, who's come in from Grenoble, but he's a New Zealand Maori. He's got half a dozen caps for the New Zealand Maori. A lot of Super Rugby experience, or experience of the top 14 without being a big name.
So their back line looks really good to me, aside from 10.
Their back three is excellent.
Their scrum half's awesome.
I disagree with you. I think their 10 is fine. They need a kicker.
That is a good point.
Yeah, that's
actually
a fair point.
I would worry now that the transition from Dean Ryan to whoever it is isn't going to be that stable. And also, I don't think their signings are that strong. It's a good evolution, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it's not.
There's nothing really to get overly excited about.
No, and they've not lost any big names. They lost Charlie Mulcrone, who's gone to Quinns, to be back up to Danny Kerr, because Thingy's retired, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Thingy's brother.
Dixon.
Carl Dixon has retired. But the rest of them, no big losses apart from Dean Ryan. And that's it. So I think they'll be stable, and they've got a solid enough team to compete, and they've got some very talented players, and they've got a good squad, or a decent enough squad. But it's losing your head coach and what
that's
impact
massive.
That will have.
Yeah, are they better or worse than this time last year?
I would say
they didn't have Hoo-Ha this time last year.
The squad is arguably slightly better.
Yeah,
but they're possibly going to be worse because they've got no leader. And Dean Ryan, like you said a few seasons ago when they got relegated, Tim, it was a long game and he was building towards something, and he was on his way to
that's right.
To
and
achieving.
Now JB laughed.
Well,
we both laughed.
I've sort of
to be
considered.
Fair.
I mean, actually, it does prove that I was right. The fact that he wasn't right. He wasn't right, man, because he didn't stick it out. if he stuck it out, I think I'd have had to eat my words.
But it is. You have to say that if you're going to get relegated, you have to say we're building towards it. There's nothing else. Oh yeah,
he did say that at the start of the season.
Yeah,
they got relegated.
Unless you inherit like a Saracens,
yeah.
I think it's absolutely fair to say it's a 5-year process now because all the academy credits and you have to build through the academy. So that is an absolutely legitimate point, one which I rubbished when he first said it. But although we got him back up, he did bottle it. Like, what, 3 years into his 5-year plan?
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's inexcusable.
I want to know what's going on there. I see we've not heard anything else. I'm wondering if... I always used to like him on the TV coverage on Sky.
I think, actually, as a pundit, he's really good.
I think he's great. I wonder if that might be what he's doing.
Well,
who knows?
Possibly. Possibly. And he writes a decent article for The Guardian.
Is it The Guardian or Telegraph he writes for?
I think it's The Guardian.
Scathing of Stuart Lancaster.
Yeah.
I've got to say, everything he writes seems to make sense.
If he's playing like, you know, I mentioned Billions in the Rugby Social game earlier. I've been watching it and it's a great game. I don't know. It maybe if Dean Ryan has looked at where his stock currently is and he's projecting where his stock might be at the end of this current season and he's going, I'm going to sell high.
Peak Ryan.
I don't know.
I can't see that because if he left Worcester to go to an international role or a better club. I mean, there's talk of Bath, I guess. Yeah, I'd say fine. But what's he going to do? Go to the RFU and join the ranks of the non-competitive coaches? Do, like, pretend that he's teaching skills to the most skillful people in the country? I mean, I don't really know where he's going to go next.
Well, I want to see whether he pops up at the RFU or I loved him as a pundit, so I wonder whether he'll be the analyst.
He could take that and it's... take the stress out of it, easier life.
Working for the RFU, I hate to say this, working for the RFU is like the public sector of rugby. You go in there, you get given this basically a job for life. You don't have to win any games, and you piggyback off the success of others. It's an awful move for anyone with any ambition.
Or it's good for like a bit of balance and a bit of family time and having your weekends back and just work until retirement. Oh, maybe that's where his head's at. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
It's great for the individual. It's not so good for the structure. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see on that one. But I think we all identified a kicker and a director of rugby.
Yes.
With real pedigree, could be enough to drop them right into the relegation mire.
I reckon Rob Andrew would be a good one because he can kick and be director of rugby.
It's good.
Very nice, Jay.
Very nice. And Wasps?
Wasps. Now, Wasps is more interesting. They've had more comings and goings than just about any other team, I think.
Mm.
So they've lost the Pietau boys, which is an enormous
more comings and goings than the Love Island house.
Indeed. don't know what it means, but I assume you're right. So I've got a theory about Wasps, and this theory started in the last lot of playoffs when Wasps, I felt, looked very edgy because they went out in the semis for the Heineken Cup, and I know the chat within the camp was, we're going to win something this year, and they really felt that they could do. But not only did they think they could win it, I think they also recognise that they're not going to win it next. They're not going to win anything next year, because the players they've lost are too important. Like Phil says, Pietau brothers, huge
massive
loss.
George Smith,
huge
massive
loss. And even someone like Ben Jacobs, who was so solid for them, another big loss.
And Bradley Davis,
yeah.
So they've got Matt Simons coming in from London Irish, who, if we were playing Super Rugby, I'd want Simons. But as we're in the Northern Hemisphere, I'd much rather have Bradley Davis.
Absolutely.
He's a proven international and club.
Matt Simons has got to prove himself
now.
He
has to.
Because he's come over for a bit of wedge. He's come over with a lot of big reputation, and I would argue has not delivered at all.
It's been difficult for him to deliver in the team that got relegated.
Johnny
Williams stood out last year as a great player.
But not only that, he came over with one of the coaches that made him into such an alleged good player.
Yeah.
So if he had ever had a chance to do it in the Premiership, it'd be last year under the coach that he knows, in a system that he knows.
Yeah.
He looked like a rabbit in the head. He looked like it was all a bit too much for him last year.
Has anyone heard any rumours that he might have felt he was a little bit too good for Irish? Anyone heard those rumours?
Not heard that.
I've not heard that.
I've heard other stuff, but I've not heard that.
Nah, anyway.
We've not heard it. We've confirmed it. Not heard. So the other guys they're losing their two backup fly halves, Lazowski and Jackson, who've gone to Saracens
and
Quinns,
to the NYPD, respectively.
Yeah.
Hey, Lazowski!
He works alone, though, so Pono only slows him down.
But they have brought in Sippers, obviously, cover that.
So they've got rid of the lone cop, and they've gone and invested in one of the worst duos ever to really play. Now, if you'd have gone back and pulled up game tape of the Rebels, who would have thought, we need those two. We need those two now.
Sippers and Beale.
Sippers and Beale. I
mean, if you wanted to take the cop show format, that is like a Danny Glover and Mel. No, in fact, they're both. It's like two Mel Gibsons.
Yeah. You don't have the straight man. It's just two wild cards.
I find this really. On one hand, you think, what a difference 5 years makes, or whatever it was, when they were both in the Rebels. God knows what they were doing. It wasn't much in the way of rugby. And now they're both classed as legitimate. Stars?
They're both a bit more stable and settled and consistent now.
And there'll be over £1 million of salary per season.
And do you know what? If you want two lads who are famous for going out and getting hammered and, you know, talking to ladies, if you want them to settle down, what you need to do is give them massive salaries. That should do it. Make them like centre of attention.
Yeah. So they've also lost.
Although, sorry, I will say that trains don't run that late from Coventry to London, so Sippers won't be able to go out as much as he did.
Oh, well, that's no problem. No, there's no trains running, is it? I mean, we've got. Hang on.
Never mind.
How else would he get home if there's no train? I don't know.
At 5 a.m. round London. The day after an England international match.
Very, very quickly. How would he get home? I don't know. Taxi?
So they've also lost Cittadini, their tight head prop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where's he gone?
He's gone to Bayonne. Ooh. He's a good Italian tight head. So that's a big loss. But they have brought in a few players. So Marty Moore coming in potentially is a good player. So he's Irish international, Leinster player. Problem is, the last few seasons, I feel like I've hardly seen any of him because he's been injured consistently.
Mm.
They've obviously brought in Tommy Taylor, who is a good player.
Yeah.
Sippers, KB, Simons. They brought in Nick DeLuca as a kind of short-term deal from Biarritz.
Well, short-term deal from retirement.
And they've also brought in Guy Armitage, who's...
Have they?
Never. He's threatened to do good things, but never actually done them.
I thought his best season was at Doncaster.
No, that's Bevan.
Oh, is it?
Guy Armitage was at...
He went out to Toulon at one point.
Yeah, I remember that bit. He does a bit with BT Sport, doesn't he? And does the French League when they used to cover it.
Does he?
Is it the one with the ponytail?
I don't... I've never seen him with a ponytail. Is it big, big centre?
Yeah, definitely the one.
Quite a rangy runner, but never really done it.
So we're analysing it, is that possibly, overall, they could be slightly weaker than they were.
Yeah.
It feels like the replacement, they've possibly lost a little bit more. Because like the best players...
Which is amazing when they're bringing in Sippers and Beale.
Well, the best players they brought in, so Sippers, I mean, what's his name? The current fly half, Gopperth, he's a very good fly half.
Well, he's a Heineken Cup winning fly half, isn't he?
He's there. Yeah, he's at Leinster.
Yeah, he's won some Pro 12s. Like, he's a legitimately quality fly half.
Yeah, so you got rid of the second string fly halves and brought in another first string fly half, which, I mean, you look at the best teams and they do operate like that, but it...
Well, he wants to...
It feels a little bit less necessary than some of the other players. And then Beale, obviously, is injured.
Well, and Beale is kind of a 10-12 as well. I mean, I think he's making his name at 12 mostly.
For the Waratahs, last few seasons, when they won it, it was Foley and Beale. Was 12.
What are they really missing? They're missing a fullback and they're missing a 12. Now, well, potentially, you could put Beale at 12 and Sippers at 15, but it doesn't really sit well with you.
Unlike previous seasons, you will be missing, probably, Nathan Hughes for a chunk of the season.
You will.
And he's massive for them.
He is. He's... very good player and instrumental in a lot of the positive stuff, because he gets good front football so consistently, like Billy does. It makes everything a little bit easier. You're playing in front of the game line.
So in the autumn, Wasps will have a back row that potentially will not have Nathan Hughes and will not have James Haskell or George Smith.
Yeah.
Are you missing someone there?
Their back row, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the young lad, Sam Jones, Thomas Young, Guy Thompson.
Oh, some good players.
Guy Thompson's not young, he's about 30.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got the two young lads and Guy Thompson.
And also Thomas Young might be picked up by Wales.
By Wales, yeah.
Before you know it.
Yeah.
So that's another potential option.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because they've still got like Wade and Frank Lai out wide. They've still got some finishing power. They've still got some big boys up front.
I would say
Matt Mullen's a great player.
Where do you see
Johnson's
playing?
A great player.
If 12. He was fit, 12.
Definitely. Yeah. 12, yeah. Definitely.
With Miller getting the 15 shirt again.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Miller's a very good player, actually.
Miller looked good, yeah.
Might have actually overlooked him because Pietau was so good.
Yeah.
And then Sippers in and out? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Simpson, well, they've got Simpson and Dan Robson. So they've got two of the best scrum halves in England.
Very well for Northampton, so that's not bad, actually.
Yeah, having the two that you can rotate.
Interesting.
So, Wasps top four, yes or no?
No.
I am going to say...
I'm going to say no.
I'm also going to say no, just. Having your most expensive player unavailable for a good chunk of the season in Kirtley Beale is going to cause issues.
And arguably your most important player... potentially missing a third of the season with internationals.
Do you know who they remind me of? They remind me of Harlequins. On their day, they'll be great.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll have the consistency. I think they'll... But mind you, that means that they'll either finish above or below.
But like you say, it's going to be a funny season again, because I see Quins struggling again. I see Bath struggling again.
But it's... They're going to be struggling because they're a good team.
Actually, everyone's struggling except for Saracens.
They're going to be struggling because it's such a competitive league.
But I think
Sale will do. I think Sale will be a good team this year.
Yeah.
I hope they will.
When and if Eastman never actually does.
Is there any Eastman news? Maybe we should start up like
Eastman Watch.
Eastman Watch.
As far as I'm aware, it's still not been announced.
But he's definitely left Bath.
He's definitely left Bath.
And Sale have said they're looking to... they mentioned a name of someone and then said... And they're looking to sign a player, X player, who was named in this article, and one other back.
One of the backs, specifically inside centre, former rugby league, Oldham boy.
Former rugby league, yeah, Oldham boy.
Who could it be?
Likes hanging out at the Trafford Centre. They're going to bring in a flat beat cap and skinny jeans.
Definitely. They're bringing back Joe Ford. So, I wonder if Sale are playing games here because they don't want to spend the amount of money that Bath. If he stayed at Bath, he'd be their highest paid player. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, because that was the reason. Yeah.
Especially when you've got like Lowe and Denton and just name the whole pack and you think, well, Kyle Eastman's getting paid more than all of those boys.
Start in England, fly half.
Yeah, of course, Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
Anthony Watson.
One of the
highest paid player is. He's a damn good player, but he's not that good. So I wonder if Sale are just kind of biding their time until he gets desperate and then settles for the less money.
Well, it would be interesting because the money to go to Sale would probably be comparable to the money to go to back to rugby league.
Yeah,
I would have thought so.
I don't reckon so.
I think there'd be a few offers on the table for rugby league.
£6 million worth of salary cap this year.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that in Super League.
What is the Super League salary cap?
I think it's about $4 million, isn't it? Or $3 million. It might even be less than that.
I don't know.
Find out. I'm sure it's tiny compared to rugby union.
We've got the 2002 figures. Do you want that? $2.3 million in 2002.
Well, put it this way. The average rugby league salary is about $40,000.
That can't be right.
It is right.
Is that the median or the mean?
I don't know. I got it from
do you remember our Twitter argument a couple of months ago about mean and median?
I got it from the from the head of their players' association. So it's a pretty solid figure. That.
Well, maybe this time next week we'll have some Kyle Eastman news to go along with some Stuart Lancaster news as well.
The combined earnings of the top 25 players must not exceed $1.8 million. Clubs are then allowed to sign a new player if they rumour the cop. I'd spend maximum $50,000 on the top 20 outside. So the average, well, the maximum outside the top 25 is $50,000. So the average won't be $40,000.
No, they are then, I was wrong.
Clubs are allowed a marquee player.
So you could come as a marquee
Two
player.
Marquee players now.
Sorry, this is Super League.
Oh, Super League. Right. Okay,
yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Right.
So he could go back to league.
We'll wait and see.
We will.
Right, where are we at? Are we done?
1 hour 10, I think we're done.
We're done! Right.
Good work, boys.
Leave your 5-star reviews on iTunes.
5-star only.
Yeah.
That's an order.
And follow and get in touch. Be part of the
LTBP
community by following and chatting at Rugby Podcast on Twitter.
I'm going to start making LTBP community t-shirts now, and maybe have marches.
Yeah, we could have flags with like, but just pick different colours to go at, like in like the rainbow flag. Just
exactly.
Pick different colours.
Why the rainbow flag? We're completely different. It's completely different.
I was just using that as a reference point. I just imagine because we love hoops.
Oh right, yeah. That's why. Hoops.
Definitely.
We love hoops.
It's got to be hoops. Whatever the flag.
Multicoloured hoops, not rainbow.
Yes. Yeah. Just different. I'm thinking.
We could reflect the colours of the teams. We have a dark green for Leicester, black for Saracens, blue for.
It'd have lots of shades of blue.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah, so you can lump Sale and Bath
together as
blue.
Yeah, so we can get complete toffee on making us a LTBP community flag. That'd be
or superb. After his outstanding work of
the mock-ups of the dungeon were absolutely
they're brilliant. Follow Complete Toffee on Twitter. Brilliant rugby stuff, and thank you very much. Right, yeah, nice one. Good work, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
So who have your beloved Canes got?
Let's run through that briefly.
Yeah.
So, my beloved,
Canes.
Dearly beloved Canes.
Man and boy.
They are I think it's the early morning game. Yes, they are the early morning game on next Saturday, the 23rd.
Yeah.
They host the Sharks, who were the 8th place team, because obviously Hurricanes were the top.
Yeah, so Canes will win that.
You'd expect a home win for that. Then, on the Friday morning our time, Friday evening Australian time, Brumbies host Highlanders, which Highlanders scored significantly more points. They totaled 52 points.
Yeah.
Brumbies only scored 43 points, but Brumbies get the
and
home semi-final.
New Zealand to Australia is not as bad as some other travels, so I imagine the Highlanders to win away.
Yeah, Highlanders are a good team. Did you see Waisaki Naholo's finished in the game this weekend against the Chiefs, their very good victory against the Chiefs?
No.
I will check it out.
It's an unbelievable finish. Absolutely incredible. So I'm going to say an upset there. Highlanders, well, not an upset. The away team
going
winning.
With form, but away from
away home, team winning, Highlanders.
Yeah.
Then Lions host the Crusaders, which...
That's a tough one to call that.
Yeah. Crusaders, who lost at home to the Hurricanes. If they'd won, they would have got a home semi-final. But they didn't, so it means they travelled to the Lions, and a Lions team who've just rested all their best players because they were playing the Jaguares. So I think the Lions at home could do that.
Mm.
And then the final game, which I think is 5 p.m. British summertime or whatever we're on these days, is Stormers versus the Chiefs, which again, you could see the Chiefs winning away there.
Yeah, you can.
So I'm going to say we're going to have 3 out of 4 of the New Zealand teams in the semi-final.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Consensus at last.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? On a weekend with no rugby. We've chatted for 1 hour and 13 minutes.
About rugby.
There you go.
That's how much we love the game.
We're here for it. We love it that much. And we'll be back next week with another one. In a bit.
Bye.
Good work. Just that little bit at the start to where we cocked up the...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.